You are listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church, located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to westhill.net/donate.
Stuff and somebody can help you get that stuff if you want it for staying in here. Okay, thanks.
For most of us, it'll be the last time we see Greta before she goes into her formal review this Thursday.
Wednesday.
Sometime this week. And it is something that's been weighing heavily on Greta and on this congregation for over a year now, and particularly on Greta in the most recent weeks and the most recent months when the review was reestablished after the appeal was rejected, and in more recent weeks where Greta was required to write formal answers to various questions that she will be asked in a few days' time. She's exhausted, I understand. And she could use a hug from every one of us today. So this is an opportunity to do that. Please take advantage of it. Greta puts herself out there, has always done, to do what she thinks is best, what is right. And it's a mark of what we do here at West Hill as well. She puts herself out there and she suffers the slings and arrows. And none more so than this formal review that's pending. But with those comes another side that we are also very aware of, and it is the love and support that Greta gets from you and from us here every day that helps to keep her going. So, this is why I write things down sometimes, because I'm not able to just rifle it off like I had thought of earlier. So we'll leave it at that, and we'll go to our opening song. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you. I have an introduction to the opening song. I only received this song by email early this morning. It's from a pastor in a Baptist church, Pullen Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. And he had been in touch with me because he wanted to use the hymn that I wrote, the new words that I wrote to him, Here All Belong, in his service today. So in his gratitude for my giving him permission to do that, he sent this. But there's a bit of a story to it, so I'm going to read what he wrote to me. The first paragraph actually is something he wrote to Annie. Our non-theistic prayers are with Greta and your entire congregation in these coming days. We understand what you are going through, as we were the first church in the United States to be kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention because of performing gay-lesbian unions in 1990. But that would have happened eventually, as our congregation had been on the liberal road for its entire history. Now many of us are looking to West Hill to inspire the realization of our continued evolution. And then this is what came with the hymn this morning. In gratitude for the profound effect your writing and work and West Hill has had on me, I've revised one of my hymn texts in dedication to you all. As Brian Wren has taught me, revisions are meaningful and reveal a progression in thought. I once thought that Christian liberalism was the end of the road, but you and your congregation have taught me there's more, an exciting new adventure. I'm fortunate to serve a congregation that is also moving on that pathway. The original version of the attached hymn won a hymn search sponsored by the Alliance of Baptists, a liberal association of Baptists my congregation helped to birth, a very open organization that thankfully is continuing to evolve. The hymn text was conceived to express the covenant statement of the Alliance, and I've only revised it slightly, but the revisions reveal the enlightenment I've received from you in West Hill. For example, in the original text, I used wisdom with a capital W, love with a capital W, and spirit with a capital S as God images. Wisdom and love are now wisdom and love with lowercase, and spirit is now conscience. So I'll leave the rest for you to read after the service, but I very much appreciated receiving this from Larry today and hearing his congregation's support of our work and knowing that they're singing one of our songs while we're singing one of theirs. You'll note on that last slide that Larry has given us permission is granted in perpetuity for us to use that hymn.
And there's a fourth verse on my sheet.
No. Oh, yes, there is. You're right. That would be an entry problem by the principal.
These changing of words of things to be more contemporary is an ongoing activity here at West Hill, has been for over a decade, in particular Scott and Greta taking lyrics from hymns, from melodies that we're all familiar with, and making them more relevant and contemporary for us all, including Greta taking themes that you would hear spoken on any given Sunday in other churches and spinning them into a more contemporary spiritual manifestation that would ring true here at West Hill. It's a hard work, it's not easy, but it's the right thing. Each week, in order to remain aware of our treaty obligations and the relationship we have with our First Nations sisters and brothers, we read one of the 94 recommendations sent to all levels of government by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We expect to finish that 94th one in June 2017. We are on recommendation number 43, and it reads, "We call upon the federal, provincial, and territorial and municipal governments to fully adopt and implement the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples as the framework for reconciliation." Scott.
Grounded, Guided, Growing, A Time for Centering, from Scott Kearns.
There have been a number of philosophers or philosophical thinkers who have been imprisoned. My dissertation supervisor wrote a book on three deep philosophical spiritual thinkers who were imprisoned during various wars and various times of oppression. And in each case, they discovered about themselves and observed that the people imprisoning them could do horrible, difficult, inhumane things to them. They could take away everything, but what was always left was that person's freedom to choose their response. That's such a heavy thought. Take away everything, but I still get to choose how I respond to that. And that's sort of what we ground ourselves in, this thing called life, over which we have minimal control in so many ways. We have absolute control over how we respond. And the reason that's so important is what we like to say we ground ourselves in is the interconnectedness of all life. That what happens to you does matter to me, and what happens to me does matter to you and someone on the other side of the globe. If we're connected, it matters. So we ground ourselves in that, that we actually have an effect by our responses. And then we choose what guides us in that, and it's simply and with enormous complexity, love, justice, compassion, kindness, thoughtfulness, empathy, all those things would guide us in this interconnected web of life. And then we grow together by sharing wisdom, by sharing examples of failure, by being open with each other about where we've fallen flat on our face and open with each other on how we moved forward with some as a champion. And so
the readings today are by someone named Lietze, a Taoist from the school of philosophy, and they have their roots somewhere between 1600 and 2400 years ago. First one. Relationship division and differentiation are the processes by which things are created. Since things are emerging and dissolving all the time, you cannot specify the point when this division will stop. Offered as wisdom for the journey.
May we walk in its light.
And the second reading, also by Lietze, from a Taoist guide to practical living. Some people think they can find satisfaction in good food, fine clothes, lively music, and sexual pleasure. However, when they have all these things, they are not satisfied. They realize happiness is not simply having their material needs met. Thus, society has set up a system of rewards that go beyond material goods. These include titles, social recognition, status, and political power, all wrapped up in a package called self-fulfillment. Attracted by these prizes, and goaded on by the social pressure, people spend their short lives tiring body and mind to chase after these goals. Perhaps this gives them the feeling that they have achieved something in their lives, but in reality, they have sacrificed a lot in life. They can no longer see, hear, act, feel, or think from their hearts. Everything they do is dictated by whether it can get them social status. In the end, they've spent their lives following other people's demands and never lived a life of their own. How different is this from a life of a slave or a prisoner? Offered as wisdom for the journey.
Focused Moments from Greta Vosper.
Focus moment is in such faint ink, I'm not sure I'll be able to read it, but we'll try. The theme today is, is yours a little better? Oh, that's much better, thank you. That's much better. The theme is about boundaries and divisions and difference, and so the focus moment reflects that. Before we even had a chance to choose, we had identity like a kilt wrapped around us, signaling to all the world the groups to which we belonged. Origin, melanin, religion, ethnicity, gender, classified by human categories, while we, born in a rush of salt water, knew only oneness. Since then, we've wrapped ourselves in our own definitions, chosen, acknowledged, yet rarely seen. Clarifications of who we are by what we do, where we live, political allegiance, social opinion, how much we earn, how much we let it show. Each distinction earned at the cost of what we might have been. Our fall from grace eased by the ties that bind us to an assumed superiority, a lazy acceptance, existential ennui. How hard would it be to carry idealism, to blindly reach a hand out to touch another hand with no furtive glance to check the fingernails, the talismans, the t-shirt memo, hair texture, facial form? How hard would it be to leave hold of the divisive side of difference, to see only the jet black pupils in another's eyes, and another's, and another's? How hard could it possibly be? As many of you know, when I begin preparing for my Sunday services, I dip myself into the passages from the Bible that will be used a year from now. So I was dipping myself into year A, proper 7 this week, if you want to check that out online. And the stories there talk about division. It's a story that has validated for thousands of years the privileges of one group over another group. A division of humanity that seemed to make sense to at least one of those groups, maybe not the other group. But the story itself made me think about division, about the line in the sand, that we speak often about difference and how important that is to us, and it certainly is. But those lines that we draw in the sand are sometimes profound as well. So one of the first things I did was go to Google and type in line in the sand etymology. And of course, the most recent time that it has been used significantly was George H.W. Bush in 1990 when he was declaring the war, Desert Storm. He was probably picking up on the power of that phrase as it had been reported to have been used at the Alamo. When William Barrett Travis said that he would draw a line in the sand, and any of those men that were fighting with him that were willing to defend the fort could cross that line with him. And they did. Of course, that didn't happen, unfortunately. But the people who are into etymologies say that it counts because so many people believe that it's true. So it has had an effect on making that phrase stick in our story, in our lexicon of epithets. Where it probably originated was back in the times of the Roman Empire, when a Macedonian king, who's the guy called the word detective says, was probably short on cash, decided that he would invade Egypt and maybe a few other places to raise some funds. And so he got there, and a lot of bluster and stuff, and he was all ready to invade when he realized that it was kind of a big group he was hitting on. And so one of the protector people, Popilius Linus, came out to engage this Macedonian king. And instead of just talking to him, he drew a line, a circle, entirely around him. And he told him that he could leave that sand, he could leave that circle if he agreed to remove his army But until that time, he had to stand in that circle. So it wasn't a line in the sand that you can't come across. It's like your whole life is going to be circumscribed by this circle in which you are standing. And the word detective thinks that's probably the only time in human history that drawing a line in the sand has actually worked, because the Macedonian king, realizing he had very little place to go, and also realizing that he'd probably picked a fight he was never going to win, ordered his armies to retreat and found his way out of the circle. So we talk about boundaries and barriers and distinctions and difference, and we do it without even thinking most of the time. We live our lives according to all those little circumscriptions that we have. You know, the ways that we live, the places we live, the places we shop, the people we know, the people we'll talk to, the groups we participate in on Facebook and Twitter, the news feeds we have coming into us on our electronic devices at all hours of the day. They all put us in these little categories. Scott is constantly amazed at some of the trivial knowledge that I pass on to him through some of the word stuff and some of the lists that I get. And I'm amazed by the stuff that he shares with me that comes across his Yahoo News feed from time to time. We're in these little categories. I spoke a few weeks ago about that confirmation bias and how if you Google, I used the example of feminism being started by the CIA. And if you, or the rumor that it was, and if you type CIA feminism in, you'll get thousands and thousands of pages that will reinforce your belief that the CIA started feminism. And so we weave ourselves into these cocoons. We bind ourselves in these circles that we can't get out of unless we're willing to let go of some things. Unless we're willing to let the army go home and let our guard down and step over that line into the rest of life. Now, there are lots of things, there are lots of lines in the sand that are very good, and the quotes that were on the screens earlier were taken from that concept, and one of them was really positive and one of them was kind of not so, because they're really good and they're really bad. So, lines in the sand, what's a line in the sand that's really good? You draw a line in the sand. I'm going to draw this line in the sand. Okay, anybody who's maybe been in a relationship with someone with addictions, we draw a line in the sand when we've had enough. Or someone who's been in an abusive relationship, you draw a line in the sand. You draw a line in the sand when it comes to a workplace harassment or a boss that's just going to, you know, eat you alive. And you draw a line in the sand in order to protect your own dignity, in order to protect yourself. And you can move that line. We all do. But we have lots of lines that we draw in order to allow ourselves to flourish on one side of them. Because if we kept going over there, if we kept bearing the indignities of abuse, or if we kept becoming smaller and allowing ourselves to be diminished to the point of disappearing in a relationship where the needs of the other are so much greater than our own, or if we find ourselves giving ourselves over again and again and again to ice cream and sugar and cake and chocolate brownies and yeah. We can draw a line in the sand in order to find our own strength, in order to create space for our own dignity, in order to care for ourselves. And as I said, it can be a moving line from time to time. But there are many ways that lines are drawn in the sand that are not so helpful. And there are the invisible barriers that are set up, and I spoke of some of them in the focused moment. What are some of the barriers that you run into in life or that you see around the world, happening around the world? I do like expect you to respond when I ask you these questions, just so you know. So what are some of those barriers that you see or divisions that you see in the human family? Sorry? Yes, intolerance?
Bureaucracy?
Sorry? Glass ceilings?
gender wage gaps. I'm sorry? Yes, contempt prior to investigation, yes. Inflexibility, yes. Nationalism, yes. We're seeing some of the effects of some challenges of that. There are all kinds of ways that we have created these barriers, some of them obvious and some of them not so obvious. And we're often very comfortable to stand in that circle, to live our lives within that, because our prejudices can keep us safe from what's going on outside that circle. And as long as I'm on the good side, and as long as everything Google tells me is telling me everything I do is right, I'm happy to remain there. But we have a greater purpose. We have to have a greater purpose because we are human. Because we came out of the Rift Valley, two people who never met, but chromosomal Y and mitochondrial Eve, or maybe I've got those backwards, they are in each one of us. You have a chromosome and mitochondria. We've got DNA that we share around the world. We all came out of the Rift Valley. That story is a story that has been consigned to science books and kept out of the classrooms in many schools in favor of creation stories. But that story, I think we have to own. I think we have to find a way to tell that story and tell it boldly, to recognize that the stories that we have told one another that divide us are stories that have to be set into the historical record. It's time for us to tell that story about us as the human family, not as Canadians, not as North Americans, not as the First World, not as whatever color we are or whatever our background is from, not as those that are privileged or the underprivileged. We're human. If we were to do that, all hell would break loose. If we were to figure out that story and tell it, I don't know how many of our systems would survive it. Because our systems are dependent on our being in that circle, on playing according to the game, on remembering who we are and what the expectations are of us, what our own expectations are, how we expect everyone outside that circle to live and act and respond and react. It's all woven into the systems that we've created that reinforce that circle every time we get out of bed and land our feet in it. In order for us to move beyond that circle, to let the army go home and be freed, we will have to start telling that story, even though it destroys the way we see the world. Even though it flattens us with the realization that our privilege is built on someone else's want. Even though it reminds us that the political party that we have put our heart and soul into has corruptions of its own. Even if it means that I don't get to go to the dollar store to pick up stuff to put together something for a group project. Even if it means I have to see everything differently. We were not born to stand in a circle. We were not born to be circumscribed by the systems that define who we are. We were born as human beings. And that means that we have a brain that allows us to see one another and weep when another person is crying and feel joy when another person laughs, to be delighted when that happens. We have the capacity for empathy, which separates us from so many others. That and our ability to hold hundreds of connections in our head at the same time, the result of our brain development. But by choosing to stay in that circle, we're limiting who we could be. We're limiting what the future might look like. We're limiting who we were born as. in that saltwater rush of oneness. And so as this week unfolds and the next, and we watch huge things happening on an international scale as the world reconciles itself to the reality that the UK now has a different vision, its worldview has torn apart. As we go through those kinds of things and we experience the fluctuations that will happen with what's going on in this community, and each of you that has big stuff happening in your lives and in the lives of people that you love, as you go through those fluctuations, find the courage to step outside the circle, even and especially if it means you need to take the hand of someone you would have never touched. Even if it means listening to their story and being moved and changed by that story, when we break our hearts, we learn to love. So I challenge you to get outside that circle. Put your feet on the floor tomorrow morning when you get out of bed or when someone comes to help you get ready for the day, and recognize you don't have to be who you were yesterday. You can get outside. You can go past the line. You get to define your world. And by defining your world, defining who you are. It's going to be an historic week. So let's make it great. Thank you. I was sitting this morning, we're having a deck built, and I was sitting there looking at it, and it has, you know when you put something together and it's perfect and you notice it's been stained, and you think, oh, darn it, I'd got a coffee stain right smack in the middle of the deck. And I thought this morning as I was looking at it, I thought, you know what, wouldn't it be cool if I went out and I like put coffee stains on the entire deck? Like, wouldn't that look kind of neat? Not really. But when I look out at you, I don't want to see those little circles where each of you are standing. I don't want to know that you define yourself by where you were born or what language you first spoke. I don't want to know that you're limiting yourself because someone speaks to you in a way that denies your dignity and yourself each and every day. I don't want to know that you're standing in a circle of privilege because you're too blind to the people beyond you. But I especially don't want to know that you're afraid to be you. I want to know that you've got the courage to be who you are, to step outside that circle, to tear down those walls, and to be everything you were meant to be. Go from this world in peace. from this place in peace, not from this world. Good heavens. I mean, I was talking about circles, but not that circle. Go in peace.
Excuse me.
Sorry. Okay, thank you.
You have been listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to www.westhill.net/donate.